no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. Our hour of old-time radio begins with Theater 5 this week. We'll hear their story from October 26th, 1964, titled Sirens in the Night. After that, it's Suspense and Cat and Mouse, their episode from March 30th, 1944.
What in heaven's name are you doing? For pity's sake, let's get out of here.
Oh, please, Herbert. Just be another moment.
What are you crawling around for? Down underneath those seats.
Well, I'm not crawling. I'm just looking. It's my shoe.
Your shoe. Every time we go to the movies, it's a glove or an earring. Now a shoe.
Well, they hurt my feet, and I took them off. I just slipped my feet out of them. Women do it all the time at the movies, Herbert.
Oh, they do they? The next time we go to the movies, if we ever do, give me your shoes and I'll hold them in my lap.
Oh, Herbert, please.
Women would buy their shoes big enough to begin with.
Excuse me, folks. The show's over. We're closing up. Anything wrong?
Oh, no. Nothing's wrong. Just go ahead and close up. We'll have to be here all night. Oh,
it's my shoe. Somebody kicked it going out and I can't find it.
Oh, well, I have a flashlight here. Let me help you look. Let's see. No, it's not under these seats. No, it's not over here.
Oh, there it is, all the way down the next row. Oh, that's why I couldn't find it.
If it had been on your foot where it belonged.
Yeah, I have it. Here you are, ma'am.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, don't mention it. Glad to be of help.
Now I'm all ready, Herbert.
You're positive? You haven't left your handbag behind, or maybe your head, or...
That's not very kind. Lots of women.
I know. Lots of women take off their shoes, but they don't lose them. Only you. Everything you touch either burns up or blows up or stops working or you lose it.
I'm sorry. It won't happen again.
No, of course not. Not until next time.
Well, good night, folks. Hope you enjoyed the picture. Come again.
I will, friend, some night when I'm in the mood to be utterly bored. Say, where are those sirens?
Oh, someone said a bunch of hot rodders were drag racing down the main street, and the police are after them. Sounds as if they're giving those patrol cars quite a chase, doesn't it?
You ask me, this city is going to Hades in a handbasket. Hot rodders all over town, muggings, holdups.
Well, good night, folks. Have to lock up now.
Well, come on, Dorothy. How'd you like that for being given the bum's rush? Took more than a broken television set to get me to this movie again.
Oh, Herbert, I don't think he meant anything by being in a hurry. He might have to pay overtime or something if he didn't close up on time.
Oh, sure. You're always making excuses for the other fellow. That's you. Stray dogs and cats and hobos love you. You're such a soft touch.
Oh, I do think it makes life easier if we can all be nice to each other. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Being nice to someone just gives them the chance to kick you in the teeth. Well, here we are. Street empty and not a taxi in sight. Now, you stay here. I'll walk around the corner and see if I can find a cab there.
Oh, yes, dear.
And for pity's sake, stay put. Don't wander around and get lost.
Dorothy!
Oh, Mr. McGuire. Harriet. How are you?
Oh, fine, my dear.
My, you look lovely.
Oh, do you think so?
Oh, yes, that suit and those shoes, they're perfect together.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you noticed.
Oh, you look all dressed up.
Oh, not really.
It's just the hat. That's what makes all the difference.
It does look awfully nice.
Oh, everybody just adores it, and I told them all about you.
Do you really like it so much?
Yes, I'm going to see some more people tonight at a party. And you can be sure I'll tell them you made it for me.
Oh, but really, you shouldn't. You'll have my name all over town.
around.
My dear, that's exactly what I intend to do.
Oh, I do wish you could come with me. I'd love to have you meet these people. And I know they'd love to meet you.
Oh, no, no, I couldn't. Herbert's just getting a cab to take us home.
But you could bring him along, too. It would be fun for both
of us. Oh, no, dear, no. I couldn't possibly dream of it. He didn't even want to go out to the movie.
Oh, wasn't it a wonderful picture? The kind of picture that makes you feel just full of life and the love of living.
I thought it was wonderful, but Herbert didn't like it.
Oh, well, too bad. Dorothy, have you asked him yet?
Asked Herbert?
Yes. When I saw you in the theater, I waited out here hoping to get a chance to speak to you. Well, had you asked him if he'll help us?
Why, no. Not yet, Harriet.
I thought that if I saw both of you, I might even bring up the subject myself.
Oh, no. You mustn't. Please, now, please promise me. Promise me that you won't say a word.
Well, of course, my dear. Of course, I promise.
But, well, heavens, don't be so frightened.
What? You're trembling.
You gave me such a terror in saying that you might speak to her, but you see, I'm waiting for the right moment.
Well, yes, of course, I understand. I won't say anything, but we mustn't delay too long. Do you do realize that?
Yes, I know.
This is the kind of chance that comes only once in a lifetime. If you don't do it now, you may never have the chance again.
I understand. Really, I do. I'll ask you first thing tomorrow.
Oh, good. It would be a dreadful shame to lose this opportunity.
Oh, believe me, I'm not thinking just of myself, although, of course, it's important to me, too.
I know that, Harriet. Sometimes a certain thing comes along that's a turning point.
Right, and I just feel that this is one of those times for you.
I feel it myself, but I just don't know how to bring it up to her.
This is one time when you just have to face up to things.
Well, otherwise, look at you. You'll be cooped up in an apartment the rest of your life, dusting and cleaning things over and over and over and over again.
Well, you just have something to do, just to justify your existence.
But there's never a right time when I can stand up to him, Harriet. There's never the right moment.
Oh, I've always wanted to. If only I had the nerve.
No, don't get yourself all worked up. Heavens, it's such a simple, normal thing. It's not as if you were asking for the moon.
It might as well be.
I'm sure there must be a simple, normal way to manage it.
Come to think of it, I have an idea.
What is it, Harriet?
Well, it's only two blocks from here.
Yes. You suggest walking home, then take your husband past it and show him. Then explain what we want to do, you and myself and Mrs. Friedman.
Tonight?
Oh, yes, immediately.
He's such a good businessman. I know he'll see the possibilities.
All right, I'll do it.
I'll ask him tonight.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let me know as soon as you can what he says.
Good night, my dear.
Good night.
Wouldn't you know it? Not a cab in sight.
Oh, well, I don't mind walking. Such a lovely night. Such a pleasant breeze. And Herbert, look at the moon.
Hear those sirens. Those hot rodders. Wild animals loose on our streets.
Oh, I'm sure they're just high-spirited, not vicious. And I do think it'll be fun to walk home.
All right, if you think your feet will stand it.
Oh, I like to walk. Remember back in Delville, I walked all the time.
Yes, in good, honest walking shoes. Sometimes I wish we'd stayed in Delville instead of coming to the city.
Oh, but it was a promotion from the factory, Herbert. I'm proud that you're a branch manager.
A lot of good it does. You get so fancy and fashionable that you buy shoes so tight that you can't keep them on.
Oh, I guess I did get carried away when I bought these shoes. They were so beautiful. But I'll know better next time.
Beautiful.
Shoes are shoes. They're meant to be walked in, not looked at. Coming to live in the city has changed you, Dorothy, and I don't like it any more than I like the city or the people here. Incidentally, who was that I saw speaking to you outside the theater?
Oh, that was Mrs. McGuire. You know, she lives in the apartment above us.
Oh, yes, the actress. I certainly hate to think what our friends back in Delville would say if they knew we had to live in a building full of actresses and people like that.
Mrs. McGuire is a very nice person. Warm and friendly.
Too friendly. Next she'll be borrowing money from you or trying to. Just see that you don't fall for anything. Well, come on across the street. What are you standing there on the corner for?
I thought that perhaps we could go home down this way.
Down that way? Well, what for? It'll take us 2 blocks farther to get home.
But it's such a nice night for walking, and I want to show you something.
Show me something? Well, now, what on earth can you show me on a street like this?
It's a surprise. A
surprise? There's something odd about your manner. Now, what the deuce are you up to now?
Well, it's just something that I wanted to... Cribbit, those cars!
What the...
They're coming as they jump. Quick, they'll hit you!
We'll return to Sirens in the Night in a moment.
Officials open recreation areas nights, weekends, and during the summer. If you don't help, nobody else will. For information, write Fitness, Washington, D.C.
Me down.
Oh, Dan, it hurts.
Skinned and dropping to the sidewalk. But my knee, too. And I'll just sit here for a minute. Could have killed me. Well, this is another carload of our local police force.
Oh, good. They'll help us. Officer! Officer!
What happened, mister? You all right?
Sure. Sure. Just a skinned hand and a bruised knee. I managed to duck your buddy's bullets.
Sorry, mister. You just happened to be crossing the street at the wrong time. We're after two men who threw a brick through a jewelry store window and got away with some valuable diamonds.
Oh, then that car, they weren't hot rodders.
No, ma'am. We rounded them up a while ago. The men we were after are dangerous criminals. Probably armed. You sure you don't want to go to the municipal hospital and get checked over?
I'm positive. All I want is a little peace and quiet. If that's not too much to ask for.
Right. Sorry you hurt your hand.
Come on, Joe. We gotta get going. Well, it's a fine thing when a man can't even cross the street without being almost killed by a car full of crooks or by a bunch of cops. I'm telling you, Dorothy, this city isn't a fit place to live in.
Oh, but there are lots of awfully nice people here, Herbert.
Well, it's funny. I never meet any of them. Well, let's get going. Down this other block like you want.
No. No, I'd rather go straight home.
When you had something for me to see, as I want to see it.
But I want to get you home so I can bandage your hand for you.
My hand can wait. Now, you said you had this for me. I want to see it.
But I don't think this is a good time for it.
5 minutes ago was a good time for it. What's so different now?
All right. It's just down the street, down in the middle of the block.
The middle of the block? What's so special about a block full of crummy-looking stores? For the life of me, I cannot imagine what you want to drag me here for.
Well, you insisted on coming.
Well, you insisted on bringing me.
Well, after everything else, it may not be such a wonderful surprise, but... Well, here we are.
We are?
Yes. You see...
No, don't tell me. Let me guess. There's a store, Manny's Delicatessen. You wanted me to see the smoked salmon in the window. Very pretty. Very pretty.
Please don't make fun of me, Herbert.
Three guesses. I'm allowed 3 guesses. Now, it can't be this empty store, so it must be George's work clothes over there. Say, that's a fine pair of overalls. I always wanted a pair like that.
Please don't make fun of me. It is the empty store.
You brought me here at 11:30 at night to show me an empty store? Now, what earthly interest could I have in an empty store?
It's not you. It's me. I have an interest in it.
I haven't the foggiest idea of what you're getting at.
Well, you see, Herbert,
Yes?
You remember when we lived in Belleville, how I always made my own hats, and the other women raved about them, and when the church had a bazaar, I made some hats for it, and the women always fought to buy them?
I remember. Nice hobby for a woman to have, making her own hats.
Well, since the factory transferred you here to the city...
Well, go on, go on.
I've made several more hats, and Mrs. McGuire noticed them, and she raved about them.
Well, what's that got to do with an empty store?
Well, she actually took three of the hats and sold them to her friends. And she got $25 apiece for them.
Hmm. Well, it's nice to have spending money, but I still don't see what you're driving at.
Well, I want to open a little hat store.
Open a little hat store?
Custom-made hats only. I'll make them, and Mrs. McGuire will sell them. And Mrs. Friedman, her husband owns a delicatessen and this empty store. She'll handle the bookkeeping. She says the store can be rented very reasonably. And I even have a name for it all picked out. Hats by Dorothy. Don't you think it sounds like fun, Herbert?
Hats by Dorothy. Hats by Dorothy. Very pretty. Won't it sound wonderful when the news gets back to Delville and all of our friends... hear that my Mrs. Herbert Harrison is running a hat store next to a delicatessen. I can just see their faces.
Oh, but this is just a start. If everything goes well, in a year or so, we can move to the Avenue. Oh, please say yes, Herbert. I can do it. Really, I know I can, and you won't be bothered a bit by any of the details. All I need is $1,000 to get it started. Just $1,000, and of course it's a loan.
Just $1,000. That's all you need. Just $1,000.
Well, Mrs. Friedman said we might even be able to get started for $750.
Do you have the slightest idea of what you're saying? No, no, of course you don't. You believe anything that anybody tells you.
Please, Herbert, can't you understand?
I can understand all too well, believe me. Somehow this Mrs. Friedman has cooked up a scheme to rent her husband's empty store.
It wasn't any scheme. It came about all by accident, a lucky kind of accident.
It sounds to me as if Mrs. Friedman and Mrs. McGuire have rigged up some kind of a plan to rent a shabby, run-down, excusable store and get some money from you at the same time. They're using you to play me for a sucker in their little game.
But it's not like that at all. Not as if we had a family to take care of. I wouldn't really be neglecting anything.
Nothing except your home and your husband, if that makes any difference. How do you think I'd feel having people say that my wife had to work?
But that has nothing to do with it, really. People understand things like that.
Well, maybe some people do, but I can't. I just don't see what in the world you have to complain about.
Oh, Herbert, I'm not complaining. It's just that... that I have a talent, and I want to use it.
Talent? You mean making silly hats for sillier women?
Well, it doesn't make any difference what the talent is. I want to do things. I don't want to go on this way. I need some kind of change.
Very well. It just happens that I have some information for you. Now that you've given me your surprise, I'll give you mine. I've applied for a transfer back to the factory. Next month, we're going back to Delville.
Back to Delville. Oh, no.
Just what have you got against Delville? You used to like it there.
Well, it's just that I like the city. It's alive and exciting. Delville is so dead.
It's quiet and peaceful. And that's what I want. No, now, come along. We're going home, and I don't want to hear another word about this crazy idea about a hat shop.
All right, Herbert. I guess it was crazy. For a little while, I thought that maybe... What's that?
What's what?
My foot hit something. It's here in the shadows. I have it. Herbert, look.
A gun. A .32 automatic.
And it was lying right on the pavement. Well, I bet I know how it got there. That car. Those men in it. They threw it away so if the police caught them, they wouldn't find it.
Probably so. Crimes are punished much more severely when the criminal is carrying a gun.
A real criminal's gun. It may have killed somebody.
All right, all right. Now, put it down. It's probably loaded. And that little lever on the side, that's the safety catch, and it isn't on. Now, that gun could go off that way.
Oh, it's like a movie, isn't it? The criminal's fleeing from the police. They throw away a gun. We find
it. I tell you, put it down. That's an automatic. Now, don't swing it around that way. Put it down. You could kill one of us.
Why, it could go off, couldn't it? You're always saying that anything I touch burns out or explodes or goes off.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
So if I happen to touch the trigger, it would just be an awful accident.
What's wrong with you? You're talking very strangely.
An accident nobody could ever blame me for. They just feel sorry for me.
Did you hear me tell you to put that gun down?
And it isn't as if you were nice to me. You really speak to me very badly.
Dorothy!
So, I've just made up my mind. You can go back to Delville and have all the peace and quiet there is.
Are you insane? That's the trigger you're touching.
But I'm going to stay here and open my hat shop.
Cigar. The man with no name wears a poncho over the fastest long gun you'll ever see. He's going to trigger a whole new style in adventure. This nameless man is played by Clint Eastwood. The name of the film is A Fistful of Dollars. It's from United Artists. It's the first motion picture of its kind. It won't be the last. A Fistful of Dollars. Technicolor.
Sirens in the Night, written by Robert Arthur and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Grace Matthews, Louis Van Ruten, Kate Wilkinson, and Robert Dryden. Audio engineer Marty Folia. Sound technician Terry Ross. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Arthur.
We hope you enjoyed this evening's two dramas and invite you to stay tuned each Sunday night at 5:05 for radio entertainment that's hard to find. We welcome your comments on these shows. Write to Theater 5, WLS FM, 360 North Michigan, Chicago 60601.
Roma Wine presents Suspense. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you Mr. Sonny Tufts in a suspense play that tells of a murder in Boston and of perilous adventure in Vermont's snow-covered hills. And so with Cat and Mouse and with the performance of Sonny Tufts as John Guthrie, an engineer, we again hope to keep you in Suspense.
W1QXL, W1QXL, W1QXL. This is W1RBX calling W1QXL, W1QXL. This is WIR, Montcar, Vermont, calling and standing by.
W1RBX, W1RBX. This is W1QXL in Boston, returning. Hiya, Guthrie, how you been? Signal's clear, good signal. Come in.
W1QXL, W1QXL, W1RBX back. Hello, Lockwood. I'm fine. Signal's good up here. I got lots to tell you. Been trying to get in touch with you for the last couple of hours. Where you been? Out to dinner with Valentine? Go ahead.
Sorry, Guthrie, I haven't seen Val today. She hasn't answered her phone. Guess she's awful tired of picking it up and hearing me on the other end proposing. Anyhow, I've been working hard. Oh, had a little excitement here at the laboratory an hour or so ago. Thought we had a prowler on the grounds. But guess it was a false alarm. Nerves, I guess. What's your news, Guthrie? I've got a bit for you myself, but let's hear yours first. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, as far as I'm concerned, kiddo, you can set up a date for demonstration for the Army Signal Corps and the Naval Ordnance people just as soon as you like. We're in the clear now for keeps. I got the last bug out of the screen this morning, and it ought to make the prettiest little image you ever saw. And if the brass hats put the steam on, I don't see why it shouldn't be in there fighting in a couple of months. Now, let's hear about you. Go ahead.
Boy, that sounds great. Hold it, Guthrie. Something going on here. Keep listening. I'll be back in a second. Who is it? Who's out there? Who's there? Get out from there or I'll shoot. Come out. Stop. Stop.
What is it, Lockwood? Howard, what's the shooting? Is that you coughing? Lockwood, is that you? Go ahead.
Hello. Hello, Guthrie. I saw him that time. Almost got him with my rifle. Wonder what that guy can want. Well, I know one thing he's got, and that's a sore throat. Boy, did you hear that call? Go ahead.
I'm worried, Lockwood. Somebody must be getting wise to what we've got. We'd better arrange for more protection around the lab. Well, you've heard my say of it. How are you getting on with the blueprints? Go ahead. Did you hear me, Howard? Go ahead. W1QXL. W1QXL. What's happened? Come back in. Go ahead.
Hello. This is W1QXL. I'm going away. I'm going skiing. I'm going skiing up in Sunbury, Vermont at the Phoenix Hotel. The Phoenix. Have you got that, Frank?
Frank? What's all this about you going skiing? You've never been on skis in your life. Besides, I'm coming up to see you, and it's important. We'll get together now on the blueprints, okay?
At the Phoenix Hotel. Go ahead, Frank.
What's this gag calling me Frank? What's going on? I hear voices behind you. Sounds like interference. You all right? I say, are you all right? I'm leaving here for Boston in the morning. I'll bring the whole works.
No. No, don't. And don't contact Val. If anything happens to me, the man with a cough. The man with a cough. The cough. The
Lockwood, what's up? You still there? Come in. Come in, Lockwood. Lockwood, come in. Lockwood, go ahead. W1QXL. W1QXL. This is W1RBX calling. Go ahead. W1QXL. W1QXL. This is W1RBX. Go ahead.
Tonight for Suspense, Roma Wines bring you a star, Mr. Sonny Tufts, whom you have heard in the prologue to Cat and Mouse by Hugh Pentecost. Tonight's adventure in Suspense.
While the play's scene changes, let me describe another scene that might even now be taking place in the handsome café of the Hotel Nacional de Cuba in Havana. An American visitor has remarked to his Cuban host what great enjoyment the Cuban music and the dancing gives him. Gracefully, the Cuban host returns the compliment, saying, "But your United States makes us a gift that gives great pleasure on many occasions. Your superb wine from the choice wine districts of your California, your Roma wine." Yes, for a wine to give great enjoyment, it must have greatness of character. And it's this that has spread the fame of Roma wines to other lands. Why otherwise would these countries import Roma wines to be enjoyed as a rare luxury? How fortunate then are you who can enjoy any of the Roma wines' many different delicious wine types whenever you choose without additional charge for import duty, with no high shipping costs added to your small cost for Roma wines. Yet here is a quality so high, it has won international recognition. Quality coupled with cost so modest that Roma wines are America's largest selling wines. Why not make your own taste test of these good Roma wines and discover for yourself the fine wine qualities
acclaimed by wine experts of many lands. I'll spell out the name for you. R-O-M-A. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage our star, Sonny Tufts, as engineer John Guthrie in Cat and Mouse, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
That's about all the facts we know, Miss Ames.
Yes?
The bruises on Mr. Lockwood's head were a little hard to explain, as you pointed out. It was the explosion that killed him. That seems to be fairly...
Dr. Vaughn, yes, the explosion may have been what actually was the final cause of his death. I take a doctor's word like you for that. But those marks and bruises... Suppose he'd been beaten, hit over the head in order to make him...
In order to make him what?
But I can't say any more, Dr. Vaughn. I don't know... Quite what I'm talking about anyhow, I guess. You see, Howard had been experimenting with something. He had a collaborator.
Collaborator?
Yes, I don't know who. Howard would never... Well, he used to talk to this other man on shortwave. They both had shortwave sets. Radio hams, you call them. Those amateur radio operators.
Yes. Well, I must go.
Oh, let me help you with your coat, Dr. Vaughn.
Oh, thank you. I must say that after talking to you, I'm partly convinced, Miss Ames, but... Murder's a pretty difficult thing to prove, especially in this case, and,
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, I'll be going, then.
Hello? Yes? Who? Mr. Guthrie. Well... Oh, I see. Well, if you were his friend, I... Where, in the drugstore? Yes, I'll wait. Just come right up to apartment 15E. Yes. Goodbye. Thank you again for your trouble, Dr. Vaughn.
Well, please feel that you can call...
Oh, I'll get you some water.
No, don't bother. Too many cigars. Bad larynx. I'm awfully sorry. I'll say goodbye.
You sure you're all right?
No, it's perfect. Don't worry. I'll keep in touch with you, Miss Ames.
Yes. Well, goodbye now. Oh, just a minute.
Hello, you must be Valentine Ames.
Yes, I am.
I'd recognize you anywhere.
Well, just, are you Mr. Guthrie? Just yes. Throw your things in that chair there.
You're just as I pictured you. Lockwood spoke of you so often.
Howard spoke of me? Do you?
Well, you were engaged to be married, weren't you?
No, I was fond of him, but never that way.
He told me, that is, he said...
Then you were his collaborator. Oh, please, Mr. Guthrie, you can trust me. I need help. They all say his death was an accident. The coroner, the newspapers, the police. But I know it wasn't.
How do they say it happened?
Oh, an explosion in his laboratory. Chemicals he was using in his experiments.
Nonsense, explosion. There wasn't anything more explosive in Lockwood's lab than a package of matches.
Then you were his collaborator. Oh, please, trust me.
Lockwood was murdered. I know it.
You think so too, then?
Yes.
Well, then our job is to prove he was murdered.
No, I'm sorry, Val. There's something more important that comes first. When they killed Lockwood, they stole half of our... Well...
Your invention? But half an invention is worthless.
But I have the other half.
In other words...
Yeah. I'm next. We can count on that.
But they don't know who you are.
Maybe not yet. That was why Lockwood kept calling me Frank when he was talking to me near the end. He didn't want to give my name away to them.
And you've no idea who they are? Just something we could start on?
It was just one thing. That night, the night he was killed... We were talking a shortwave, and he'd been bothered by a prowler. He spoke of it. Well, I even heard the fellow in the air. He was...
Oh, that phone. Excuse me a second. Hello? Yes? Oh, Dr. Borbert. Yes, it's nice of you to call me back, and thank you so much for sending Dr. Vaughn to see me. He certainly is... Dr. Vaughn. But you sent him to see me about Dr. Lockwood. About Dr. Edwin Vaughn? You're positive? I see. Well, thank you anyway. Bye.
What's up?
Someone just before you came, and Dr. Edwin Vaughn said he was with the coroner's office, called on me.
And the coroner's office never heard of him, is that it?
Never.
Uh-huh. Well, who was he? I mean, What did he look like? Would you recognize him if you saw him again?
Well, he was just a middle-aged fellow. Poor man had a terribly bad cough, one of the really hacking coughs.
A cough?
Yes.
It's the same one. He came to Howley's lab the night of the killing. I heard him.
You're sure?
Positive. You see, it fits. He was looking for me. Figured I'd come here to see you. He wants my half an invention. Well, Val, they need what I've got, and I've got to get back what they've stolen, so...
Where are you going?
Skiing.
What?
I'm going back to Vermont to go skiing. I'll send you a card from the Phoenix Hotel.
Bring me an orangeade, Porter. Well, hello. You're new up here.
Beg your pardon?
You're going to the Phoenix Hotel, of course. Get so you know a skiing fan when you see one. I know most all the Phoenix crowd. This must be your first trip to the Phoenix, eh?
Yeah, it is.
Name's O'Brien.
John Guthrie.
Excuse me. Do they serve drinks in this lounge car?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, you're new, too.
Well, yes, I've only been in the States a few weeks.
Oh, no. I mean new to our weekend skiing contingent.
Skiing contingent?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I'm O'Brien. This is Mr. Guthrie. What did you say your name was?
Well, I...
Thanks, Porter, thanks. And bring me a couple more cigars, will you?
Here, take one of mine while you're waiting, Mr. O'Brien.
Oh, thank you. Now, that's what I like about the Phoenix crowd. They're sociable. Everybody pals with everybody else.
Sounds very pleasant.
Yes, I suppose so.
Well, Mr. Well, anyway, you wait. By Monday, everyone in the place will be calling you by your first name.
Oh, really? Well, I guess I'd better be getting back to my compartment. Very happy to have met you, gentlemen. See you later.
Weird duck. Unsociable life. Now, I always say, you take a fellow that don't mix.
Be quiet a minute.
What's the matter with you, Mr. Guthrie? You look like you'd seen a ghost. Good evening, Mr. Guthrie. I trust you're feeling refreshed now, sir.
Yeah, 3 hours sleep and a long walk was just what I needed. Any messages for me?
No, sir.
Good evening, Mr. O'Brien.
Hello there, hello. Ah, there you are. I've been looking for you everywhere. Want to introduce you around to some of the folks here.
Well, thanks, Mr. O'Brien. I would kind of like to get acquainted.
Why, sure. Be sociable. You see the old lady in the wheelchair? That's Mrs. Garvey.
Mrs. Garvey, eh?
Yeah. They're new here, too. Legs paralyzed, poor soul. Always sits and knits. The husky man's her husband. Well, hello there, folks.
Hello, Irishman.
Well.
Feels good here.
So you're our newcomer?
Only one of them, yeah. And this sweet soul, Mr. Guthrie, is Mrs. Garvey.
Excuse my not shaking hands. I'm all tied up in this ball of wool. When you can't walk, you compensate by keeping the hands over busy.
Well, it's very considerate of you to make me feel at home here, Mrs. Garvey and Mr. Garvey.
Surprised a strong young man like you isn't in the army.
Really, Daddy. You have to excuse him, Mr. Guthrie. Nosy and fresh.
Well, there's no harm done. See, I'm an engineer and they've deferred me. Theory is, I'm doing my share as is, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm a promoter myself.
Here, Daddy. Hold out your hands. That's it. Now, don't wiggle or my wool will slip.
And I'm not in the army because I'm too old. Took advantage of the over 38 law. I'm 59.
He's a card, isn't he?
Sure is. Just what is a promoter, Mr. Garvey?
Careful, Daddy. Those knitting needles almost stuck you then. They're special needles, Mr. Guthrie. Sharp. Why, they could cut ice or pierce wood.
Or kill a man.
Yes.
Yes, I'll be careful, Mother. So you're an engineer, Mr. Guthrie. I knew an engineer. Fine boy.
Oh, I remember him. He was a dear boy.
Anybody I know?
No. Thought I'd try to get him to come up here. Was working on an experiment I was very much interested in. He wouldn't do business with me, though.
Yeah?
Now, bring your hands together, Daddy. That's a good boy. Fine. Daddy has such big, strong hands, yet they're so gentle.
Well, the boy's dead now. Met with an accident, I think.
Really? What did you say his name was?
Howard Lockwood.
Yes, Lockwood. He had a collaborator I've been trying to locate. He and I could really have a long talk.
Say, by the way, Guthrie, have you seen that bird, the unsociable one we came up in the train with?
No, I haven't.
He's probably a big businessman. He seems so nervous. I tell you, it doesn't pay. Be sociable. Business can always wait.
Definitely.
When I see how little you fellas get out of life, I thank heavens I have the sense to retire.
How long have you been retired, Mr. O'Brien?
Be 4 years in June.
You were in business for yourself?
No, I was a professional man.
Oh, I see. Medicine?
No, detective. I was with the FBI.
FBI?
Come in. Well, Guthrie, come in. Feel just like a nice sociable talk. Sit down.
Mr. O'Brien, I'm in trouble and I need expert help. And you were an FBI man. You can help me.
Uh-oh. I was afraid of that. I'm sorry, Guthrie. I'm retired. Too old for the game. You get a hold of the Boston office. They'll get someone up to help you in a jiffy. Call Jack Porter. He's in charge now. He'll mention my name.
But there's no time now. You see, Boston is 6 hours from here. I need help right now.
Oh, take it easy, boy. Relax. I suppose you're another engineer with some gadget that's going to win the war. That's a familiar one.
Mr. O'Brien, this is serious. There's a murder in this hotel, and if I don't get him, he'll get me.
Now, take it easy.
If you'll just give me a hand.
You know, I felt there was something going on here this weekend. Things weren't sociable like they usually are.
What have you noticed?
Nothing in particular. Just people seemed to act funny. You take that Garvey and his old wife, and that bird with a cough that came up on the train with us. What's he up to, eating his meals in his room?
Look, will you help me, Mr. O'Brien? I do have an invention, as it happens, and...
Oh, excuse me a minute. Hello? Mr. Guthrie? Yes, he's here. The gentleman in 421. Right now. Very well. Goodbye. It's for you. Party in 421 wants you to step in and see him.
That's him. That fake Dr. Vaughn. Well, this is it. And you refuse to help.
Oh, now, look, I'd like to, I guess, but after all...
All right, O'Brien, but look, just this. 421 is right down the hall. And if I'm not back in 10 minutes, will you knock on the door?
Oh, that much, I'll do for you.
John.
Val. Valentine, what are you doing here? We agreed that
you... Not the hall, John. Open your door quickly before we're seen together.
Look, Val, I've got something important to do. Wait in my room for me. If I can only find a key.
The door's open.
It's funny. I locked it.
Look!
The room's been searched. My papers, the pillows, my trunk.
Oh, John, they know you.
Where is it?
You didn't bring the blueprints with you here.
I'm not that dumb. Well, it's gone.
What?
My gun.
Oh, John, I'm afraid.
I feel as if I'd known you for a long time.
My dear.
Val, you know I love you, don't you?
John, we shouldn't talk about that now.
But, you see, I've been in love with what I think you are. I've only known you for 2 days, and...
What are you trying to ask me, John?
Why you came when we agreed that you shouldn't.
Because I was afraid that you...
And why I find you hiding near my door and find the door unlocked when I had locked it only 10 minutes ago, and then I come into my room and I find this.
Oh, John, don't. Please don't. I came because I wanted to help you. I felt that if you were in danger, it wasn't right for me to stay home, safe, not knowing.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Val. I trust you. Look, stay here. I'm going down the hall. Somebody's waiting.
Oh, don't go, John. Don't, please. I'm afraid for you.
You got a gun, Val?
Yes, I thought I might need it.
Well, give it to me. Now, kiss me.
Oh, John, I...
Wait here. If I'm not back in 10 minutes, get the police.
Where are you going?
Room 421 to talk to a man about his cough.
I'm going with you.
This is his room.
I'm going in with you.
You're staying outside. Step back. Don't let him see you. Open up.
His door's open, too. They're on the rug. The body.
Dr. Vaughn, he's dead.
Look at the gun. He's holding it. He killed himself.
You mean he's supposed to look as if he killed himself? He was shot in the back of the head. A bit too neat.
What do you mean?
That gun in his hand. It's mine.
Then if he wasn't the murderer, who was he? Oh, John, the gun. They'll think that...
Shh, take it easy. That gun may come in handy. Come in.
Well.
Oh, Brian, look here.
What?
This gun's mine. It's a plot to frame me.
What? That's not your killer, Guthrie. That's Hillary Lawrence of Scotland Yard. Assigned to this case because his government, like ours, is keenly interested in your invention. I should have listened to you before, Guthrie.
You know about it, then?
I checked. Called FBI office in Boston. Talked to Porter. Yes, your Dr. Vaughan was Hilary Lawrence of Scotland Yard.
He was the one you heard in Lockwood's lab the night he was killed.
He must have got a little too close in the tail of the real killers.
Mr. Garvey was... Well, I really don't know enough to talk. I better shut my big mouth. But I think I know.
You know the killer?
No, but I have no proof. Without proof, Guthrie, you'll be held for the murder of Lawrence.
That's obvious.
We've got to get our other evidence before someone finds the body.
Yeah. You know, there must be a hideout around here they operate from.
There's a cabin about a mile to the left from the top of the ski jump. I saw it one day when I got lost. I've got a funny hunch it might be the place. If we can get there and find something involving them before the hotel people find this body and arrest you, we'll be...
Well, what are we waiting for? Come on, let's go. Come on back to my room, Val. See you downstairs in 5 minutes, O'Brien.
If we don't find proof, John, what then?
Then we get murdered or get held for murder. The cabin's dark.
Yeah, one of these keys must fit. Ah, that one does it. Softly now. Mr. Guthrie, I'll take Miss Ames' gun. You're too impulsive. Thanks. Well, there's no one here. Draw the shade, please.
I'd better keep a lookout on the road. Someone may come.
That's a good idea. Now, this is what I call a real sociable evening.
Look, a note. It's addressed to me.
Well, we're in the right place, then. Read it.
Guthrie, $200,000 in cash for your blueprints, and you can get the cash first, wherever you designate, with no questions asked as to what government gets them. Why
sir,
those...
Sir, calmly, my boy. You don't have the prints here, do you?
No, they're in a safety vault, and my name is San Francisco.
What's that there, that panel?
It's a radio rig, sending and receiving.
Someone's coming.
Who? Quick, turn off that light.
Take a look, John, here, through the window.
It's Garvey, and he's alone.
Alone? Are you sure? Where'd he put that wife of his? Take another look.
He's alone, all right.
I knew she was a phony. She does too much knitting. I wonder where she is. All right, Miss Ames, out you go, quickly. Get to the foot of the road before he does. Uh-huh. It's your car, understand?
Yes, yes.
You're lost, looking for a way back to the Phoenix. Delay him from coming in here.
All right.
I'll go outside. You search the place, O'Brien, with Val.
No, let the girl go. Her best weapon is her charm. Hurry now. Stall them as long as you can. Good luck. Don't worry. I can see them from here.
Look at it. Short wave. Yeah. With this outfit, Garvey could hear Lockwood and me talking over our work.
Yeah. Pretty clever operator, I'd say.
Can you see Val?
Yeah. She's getting near him now. Brave girl, that one.
The best.
There she is. He's seen her.
Let me have a look.
See them? Over my finger. Between that row of trees.
Yeah. She's talking to Garvey now. She'll stall him.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, O'Brien. Let's start searching his
place. Wait a minute. Look, they're coming this way. The two of them. Well, I should have known.
Val? Oh, no, it can't be.
Sorry, Guthrie, but you're seeing right. The girl's with Garvey.
But she loves me. I know it. She's honest. I swear it.
They're coming up the path. You stand behind the door. I'll stand up on the balcony and cover them from behind with a gun.
You all set, Guthrie?
All set.
You spring out on them as they close the door, and I'll cover you from here.
Val, Garvey, duck. He's got the gun. Above.
Oh, my arm.
O'Brien.
All of you, reach. Don't stoop for that gun, Guthrie. Up with your arms. Three of you are going to join the late Mr. Lockwood. The girl and Mr. Garvey of the FBI who poked his nose in the book too far.
You're out of your mind, O'Brien. What will you get by killing us? I've got the information you want, and if I'm dead, you'll never get it.
I'm fighting for my life now, not your invention. With you three out of the way, I've got a chance. A fire in this lovely cabin will do the job nicely. Now get into that closet, all of you. Get started.
You're missing one, O'Brien. My wife.
I'm not worrying about that old...
Drop your gun, Mr. O'Brien. That point you feel in your back is my knitting needle. Drop it. Remember, it can crack ice, pierce wood, or kill a man.
Okay, Mrs. Garvey. Certainly nice to see you again.
Nice job, Guthrie. You tipped us off just in time. Sit down, Mother. You look tired. You must be standing behind the kitchen door for an hour.
Look here.
Just be quiet, Mr. O'Brien. Formerly of the FBI. Kicked out for improper conduct, he was. The service has had its eye on you ever since, my friend.
Yeah, you see, you made a slight error, O'Brien, when you said you'd call the porter of the Boston FBI office. The outgoing lines from the hotel have been out of order since 5 o'clock.
Oh, your arm, Daddy. Here, let me bandage it.
You better get going and have it looked after.
Oh, it's bleeding. I think I'm going to faint.
Faint ahead, Val. I got a pair of arms that aren't doing a thing.
And so closes Cat and Mouse, starring Sonny Tufts, tonight's tale of suspense. Mr. Tufts appeared through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and will soon be seen in the Paramount picture, I Love a Soldier.
Few spots in the globe boast the unique and perfect combination of nature's gifts, which makes possible truly good wine. Wine which the whole world can enjoy. But wine experts will tell you that among these fortunate spots, none can surpass the vineyards of our own California. From these renowned California vineyards come Roma wines. Wines so perfect in flavor, so delightful, that they are enjoyed in many countries of the world. To us in America, Roma wines are an everyday treat. For we may buy them at an astonishingly low price, since we pay no import duties or expensive shipping costs. Do you enjoy a delicious tangy sherry? Well, tomorrow, treat yourself to a glass of Roma California sherry. We're sure you will agree that you have never tasted finer. With your first sip, you'll understand why Roma wines are America's largest selling wines. I'll repeat the name, R-O-M-A, Roma wine. Tomorrow, ask your dealer for your favorite type of Roma wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Sonny Tufts, and I hope you enjoyed our suspense play this evening. I know I had a good time. I'm looking forward to next week's show, and I know you must be, when that remarkable actress, the Academy Award winner, Madame Katina Paxinu, will be the star of Suspense.
Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Katina Paxinu in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more at relicradio.com from Theater 5, Suspense, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, and everything else Relic Radio. You can donate through the website as well if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Thank you.